Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Major David Katz joining us on the line this morning. Thank you for speaking to us a little bit earlier today. Fascinated by the conversation around statues. Are they art? Are they a reflection of prejudice? Or as just simply part of history? David, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning to you. I didn't realize the sacrifice I was going to make by coming on so early and cold.
You're a soldier.
I know.
You're
I
a
know.
Soldier. Man up.
Thank you. Thank you for reminding me. I'm going to.
You know, sometimes an IT people
just,
need that.
Just let me just reach for my cement pole and harden up.
I like that. That's an expression I'm going to borrow. All right. So it's fascinating because, of course, as we sweep through history with our arrogance and our all-knowing view of the world, with our refusal to see nuance and to see the complexity about what made people and what makes people people, we are cleaning up history once and for all, aren't we?
Pretty much that way. I want to remind you about a situation that occurred back in 2001 where I think we all abhorred the act without a doubt. Was the destruction of the Buddhist monuments by the Taliban in Bamiyan Valley in 2001. And these beautiful monuments that dated back centuries were blown up. And I think we were all pretty disgusted by that event.
Right.
So blowing up monuments and destroying history is not a new thing. And as you said, right in the beginning, when you started off, you said monuments is art. There's no doubt about it. Statues and monuments can be art, can be very, very significant art. And even those that have lost their political gravitas, that may have had political meaning hundreds of years ago, and it's now lost us. They become just works of art to be admired and looked at. But some statues and monuments have a bigger meaning than that. They provide a memory of an event in history, or also of a major role player. And then some of them, more importantly, some monuments are shrines or representations of those that have been killed far away from their home, buried in foreign countries. Back in those days, it was impossible to bring the bodies back at home, and they serve as a shrine for relatives and family members of those trying to remember their lost ones on long gone, forgotten battlefields in other countries. So they provide a different meaning to different people, and as such, we need to assess that, you know.
And I find it very confusing. I mean, I know that the Winston Churchill one, for example, is quite problematic for me. The Gandhi one, and the Gandhi one is quite important because although he, you know, even as a Jew, he was quite problematic because his whole view was on peaceful resistance or non-resistance was that Jews should have lined up to the gas chambers because that was what the world and the universe required of us. Now it was a deeply problematic notion. But
he's even bordering on being offensive in some of his racist comments.
Of course.
He made some comments about blacks and they were absolutely inappropriate
completely
then and inappropriate now.
Except that he still did an enormous amount of good. So
yes.
how do we, and the reason that I bring that up about Gandhi is because we have to be able to look at it from our own perspective and say, hold on a minute. You know, it's all very well for us to say, okay, it's fine. So he was a racist against black people. But you know, we've got to look at the good that he did. He was that way against Jews as well. And I'm not in support of, his memory being destroyed. Why? Because I think he did a tremendous amount of good. He was a problematic person. We know that. He was dealing with all sorts of things. There's all sorts of allegations about his relationships. Specifically, he lived with a Jewish architect. There's a lot of discussion around that. He wasn't a simple person. Winston Churchill saved the free world. There is no question about that during the Second World War. Was he a racist? Well, I'm pretty sure that he was. But does that mean we've got to throw out every memory of him? Why can't we deal with nuance? What is going on in the world? And how are we going to be judged in 30 or 40 years' time?
Well, you raise interesting points. And I mean, it's difficult to try and put some test of whether a monument is relevant to us or not, should be destroyed, should be put in a museum, should be put in a theme park where people go and look at it, retained in public with a little placard explaining its significance. You raise interesting points. Let's try and look at some of the tests maybe that we can apply. Let's look at the extreme cases because they're easy and we can sort of maybe prove the point by them. Monuments, I think, have to be seen in their historical contexts. And just as men and biographies and things that you look at of people of their times, it should be judged by it should not be judged by the standards of today that did not exist at the time, that the monument was put up or the person lived. So we should try and avoid anachronism by judging these things, by the standards of today that didn't even exist. I mean, you talk about racism and racist. I mean, I wonder if that sort of construct, the connotation that we have of it today, even existed back in Churchill's time. I'm not 100% sure about that either. So let's have a look at something. Let's have a look at funny enough, I've never seen a monument to Adolf Hitler. I don't know if you've seen one or statue, anything like that. It doesn't exist. But let's just say there was one. Does that belong in a Central Park somewhere in Berlin? Should have that been taken down, destroyed, stuck in a museum? I mean, quite patently and obviously, Hitler can be judged in his own times as being a despot, a murderer, whatever.
And there's no nuance around that. So you can't look at it and say, okay, but he did good. 80% of his world was, 80% of who he was good, but he was problematic.
No nuance. And should the population around him have to suffer every day of having a look at his monuments or the streets named after him in perpetuity when they're trying to get over this whole thing and come to terms with it? Should they be constantly reminded by these types of statues? And should they be removed? And I think that's quite an easy example. Yes, they should be removed. Mm-hmm. And the same goes for Stalin and Pol Pot and others like that. It's right. Do those statues belong in public places? And I'd say to you, no. And maybe they belong in a museum somewhere. So that's an easy one to have a look at. But let's look at these slave traders. Is there any relevance to having that in a public place?
No, I would agree with you. I would say that's no different in reality to Adolf Hitler. A slave trader known to be a slave trader, if that's what defined them, then get rid of that and put it in a museum.
Put it in a museum, put it in a theme park. But also, I mean, the reason why these things have now been toppled into rivers and destroyed is because, I mean, I think that the local community around the statue had a chance now to actually remove it. They had their chance to remove it, safeguard it as a piece of art or as a historical statement and put it somewhere where it was safe instead of being in a public area. Mm. So, I mean, yes, 100%. I can see the reasons for the anger of removing the Rhodes statue and defacing certain statues in this country.
And Columbus.
Columbus is also an interesting one.
Well, it's an interesting one. I mean,
America still celebrates Columbus Day. You know, he's the guy that discovered America. It doesn't mean he was a particularly good guy. Mm. Absolutely. So that's where it starts to get a bit messy, doesn't it?
No, absolutely. And it also brings into question the very nature of naming streets and airports over stalwarts of the day. I mean, is it going to last into the future? Is today's hero going to be tomorrow's hero? Are we not inflicting this type of trouble now on future generations by putting up statues of so-called icons that we have today? It's a problem, and I think maybe some of the work should be done upfront. And had a look at before we put up these monuments in the first place so that we don't have these struggles in 200 years' time or whether they're relevant or not. And it's very, very divisive, centuries later.
Yeah, so, I mean, David, I keep thinking of an example of somebody like Nelson Mandela, who unquestionably is the hero, one of the main heroes of the South African story. He's a global icon. But after Winnie Mandela died, we started to see a very different side to him in terms of his relationships with his wives, in terms of women. There could be a very valid objection from the feminist movement and from women to saying, hold on, why do you have a statue of this guy in Sandton when he in fact didn't behave in a way appropriate to gender issues?
My main thing actually is Robert Mugabe. Because I mean, he brought Zimbabwe to independence.
Yes.
But he literally is
also
one of
brought it to their knees.
Exactly. So what do you do in that case?
I don't think he's as nuanced as Mandela, but I'll tell you what the problem is with Mandela. I'm not worried about whether Mandela was a serial philanderer or his love life. That doesn't interest me. I don't think it should interest anybody.
I know, but I'm just using it as an example that David, and especially world leaders, we know this about world leaders, people that change the world of more often than not, quite problematic in other areas.
Yes,
there's no question. It comes at a significant cost. Their sacrifice to the rest of the world, for the rest of the world, comes at a cost. In, I would argue, every single case.
Certainly. But I'll tell you, there's another problem with Mandela, which is coming to the fore now, and I've been confronted with this on a number of occasions, is that he, in some circles, is seen as a sellout.
Yes. Yes.
He's seen as a sellout. So now this monument is going up there and there's all types of different connotations as to who put up this monument, who sponsored it, who paid for it. And, here we have problems again. It's not that clear cut. It's not that clear cut exactly who Mandela was at this stage of the game and what he means.
So isn't this a very, and unfortunately we don't have a lot of time, but isn't this a very dangerous game that we're playing?
In what we're speaking about now?
No, not what we're speaking about, but the scrubbing of history. The removing of anything that we find distasteful or problematic from a perspective that is important to us.
No, I think definitely there's a problem with this, because history should make you feel uncomfortable and it should make you question ideas and go and revisit certain things, events and processes that happened in history. That's what history is all about. It's a continual dialogue. It's a continual dialectical dialogue of trying to find out what the truth was. So I think by removing these items totally, by defacing them and throwing them away and never to be seen again by future generations, we are doing a disservice. There's no doubt about it. Whether they belong in the public place and whether they belong out of context in the public place is another story, and where to put them so that people who want to go and see them and want to get a story out of them can go and see them and have an opportunity, I think is something that should be considered.